10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thanks for stopping by Moody Radio 89.3. And we're spending some time this morning with Dr. Mark Eckel. Audrey?
Yes, Mark is the president of Comenius Institute, serving students and faculty on the campus of Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis. But for many years, Mark, you've served the Christian education community, including the Moody Bible Institute. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, and one of the topics that you love to talk about is the prevailing culture. And as believers, how should we respond? Today, you're going to help us to hone our cultural discernment skills. Can you just explain that a little bit, the culture and what kind of skills we need to help discern what's going on here?
Sure, absolutely. So culture is simply how people live. And in America, we live a certain way. We have certain belief systems and interests that drive what we think and how we actually live our lives. But in terms of discernment skills, I think the issue for the Christian community is always one of approach and method. That is, how will you communicate in a way that makes the gospel of Christ attractive based on Titus 2:10? That, I think, is really important and powerful for us.
Now, in a blog that you've written, you use the home invasion as an example. Give this interesting example of how we may be missing the real issues here. So could you kind of work through that with us?
Sure, absolutely. A lot of Christians get really upset about things like profanity or violence or sexual issues and television and so on and so forth. I understand why folks really become inflamed about those things. But quite frankly, if we're thinking about those things as the front door, we've got our back screen door just flapping wide open. And what ends up happening is that we take in viewpoints such as naturalism or materialism or individualism or pragmatism, and we allow those kinds of concepts unconsciously to invade our Christian thinking. And then we go through our lives maybe saying, yes, this is a Christian way of thinking, but really not having any basis for it. So as Christians, we're really concerned with how do we approach these things from a Christian vantage point. That's really crucial.
All right, let's unpack a few of these materialism, pragmatism. How does that work out in our everyday life where there's a disconnect with what believers should really be in our world and be salt and light?
Sure. So I'll give you just one example of this. You mentioned pragmatism, for instance. Pragmatism, I think, is a real problem for American Christians, especially because we believe this concept that it's true because it works. But that's not a biblical view. A biblical view says that something works because it's true. And so while I am practical, that is pragmatic, the ism, ISM ending, is always going to give us a flip of that, a philosophy of that, a viewpoint that is antithetic to a Christian view of life and things. So we're really interested in showing people, yes, we want to show you how this is practically conversant in your life, but at the same time staying away from the pragmatic views of things. I think it's really powerful, for instance, for us to consider how do we communicate in a culture such as the one we live in? And I'd like to suggest just a few ideas. We can unpack whatever you'd like. I think movies are a very powerful tool that we can use. I wrote a book on this, When the Lights Go Down, and the view of how do we engage people in a visual, verbal conversation. I think stories are the way to go in our culture. We have to tell people stories in order to engage them. And one other idea here that I've been talking about for quite some time, that triad of truth, goodness, and beauty, I think, frankly, that we don't need to tell people our truth until we demonstrate goodness and show beauty. So demonstrating goodness and showing beauty, this is right out of Titus chapter 3. What does Paul say to Titus? Do good, do good, do good.
What does beauty look like in the believer's life? What do you mean by that?
When we talk about beauty, we're talking about how God has made his world. That is that the Creator has created creatures who creatively create from creation. How about that one? The emphasis on beauty is to simply reflect or mirror that which God has established in his world. And the beauty is all around us. All we have to do is point and say to people, look, see, there it is. We just point to it. And I think that's our job as Christians.
All right, so you were giving some examples of how we engage. Are you saying that we need to be the ones out? I think of the Pureflix movie group that produces all these faith-based movies, and there's other organizations like that? Or are you saying that we take what's out there and then use those to help discern and to help deal with these issues? What do you, when you say movies and stories, how do you say that we actually interact with them?
Sure. I think it depends on your vantage point. You know, some folks are going to go with the pure flicks perspective, and I certainly respect that and certainly understand why that's so attractive. But I think in a culture that's really decimated by Hollywood viewpoints, some of us have to be engaged in those areas so that we can point to some of the films that are going on around us and say, you know what, this is a really powerful message. Hollywood has just created a movie that has something that's very truthful in it. Or sometimes we actually look at folks and say, you know what, those things, that's not even worth going to this or seeing this because they're going to be making this particular perspective. Honestly, I think it's depends on what perspective folks are coming from. If you think that you want to engage the films that are out there in Hollywood, great. If you don't, then the Pure Flix way is certainly a good way to go.
And we are speaking with Dr. Mark Eckel, president of Comenius, I'm getting that right. Yes, Institute, helping us to really hone our discernment skills. And, you know, we're reactionary sometimes as believers, maybe sloppy in the way we live out the details of a Christ-centered life. So how do we hone our discernment skills to, first of all, recognize how to engage in the culture and then to be a person of truth and goodness by Christ's grace? How do we do that?
Yes, that's really good. Now, I want to just mention the word reactionary that you just used.
Okay.
That's a very powerful term. Thank you for using it. We have a tendency to be knee-jerk reaction people when it comes to things that we see around us. And so I'd like to offer something that, you know, folks can go to my website and find this easily enough. My website is warpandwoof.org. That's warpandwoof.org. And there I've written, you can use the search line, just type in the word tools. And I've suggested here five basic responses that I think we need to have as Christians. I'll just run through them quickly.
Okay.
We need to assimilate true truth, that is, take in proper doctrinal instruction. We need to discover truth, that is, to demonstrate ownership through study of Scripture. Discern truth from untruth, we expose non-Christian beliefs. We speak truth in love, we practice persuasion over confrontation. And then we apply truth in life. We synthesize biblical principles with all things and then live it. I think those are really powerful comments from Scripture. And I think those are ones that maybe take us down the road a little bit further.
Wow. Do you unpack each of these individually on that toolbox on your website?
I do, yes.
Warpandwoof.org. And we've got a direct link to that on our website, warpandwoof.org. And just search the word tool. Tools, right? Tools.
Sure. Yes, very good. Yes.
All right. Now, we're talking again with Dr. Mark Eckel, and you were talking about how our home, there's a home invasion going on here. So as we talk through these issues, is the home really the place where we're becoming the experts in this? Because we can make our mistakes in that before we go outside of our house to deal with these topics? Or is it kind of doing it all together at the same time?
I think both are true. Obviously, from a Christian vantage point, we're looking at the need for strong Christian homes. Certainly, Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11 speak to these issues. But some folks don't have strong Christian homes. And so the next available unit for us is the church and wedding ourselves with a strong, conservative, biblically-based church is really powerful and important for us. So when we talk about how do we hone these things, how do we get involved with folks who are doing the same kinds of things, we need to be involved, yes, in our homes. We need to be learning and studying and explaining these kinds of things to our young people. But at the same time, looking for churches that are going to do this, what I call cultural apologetics, that is understanding how people are living in the culture and then defending the faith based on what we see around us.
You know, other times we see engagement with the culture as almost a fist fight. How important is it for us to be listening to the culture as opposed to protesting about what's going on?
Oh, I love the fist fight metaphor. That was great. again, to the website, I would just mention the word listen. Just type the word listen in the search line there. And it would highlight a number of different articles, but I'll just read you some responses to your fist fight metaphor. Here's just a few questions. Do we only talk about our liberal or conservative cause? Are we only indignant about those atrocities that match our view of the world? And what does this say about us if we spend all our time only on one side of the aisle? That means basically that we need to cross the aisle, we need to cross the street, we need to sit down with folks that may not agree with us and have a conversation. And as Francis Schaeffer used to say, we need to spend 55 minutes listening and only 5 minutes talking. Whereas I've said to folks, we just need to shut up and listen. I think that's really the issue for us. Instead of confrontation, think about what Paul says in Colossians 4. Our response to unbelievers in Colossians 4, 5 to 6 is persuasion. That is, we season our speech with salt. And that's a really powerful idea there.
I'll say, I go to your website and I type in listen, and then this is the first thing that pops up. Francis Schaeffer used to say that if you spend 1 hour in conversation, 55 minutes should be listening and asking questions, and you should only hear yourself talking for 5 minutes. That's the first thing. That's really it. a good rule there, I think.
I think so, too. And Schaeffer was the person that probably influenced me the most in the 70s and 80s. And if you go down through that particular essay, you'll see some of the questions that I was asking a moment ago.
Well, this is a great conversation. We got to continue this, Dr. Mark. There's so much more to unpack as we really learn how to hone our discernment skills in our culture today and beyond. And your website we have a link to the Warp and Woof. I was reading about that. The threads that make up a piece of material, the ones that go lengthwise and the others that go crosswise, and this strengthens it. That's a great analogy. I mean, people say, what, warp and woof? Why are you weaving something here? Anyway, it's great. It's great. And we've got it there at moodyradio.org/South Florida with Dr. Mark Eckel. Thank you so much for helping us rethink the way we think.
I appreciate the offer, and thanks so much. I'll look forward to the next time.
All right. Sounds good. Right now, here's Mandisa and Unfinished.